Blog Talk Radio.
And you know-
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, Every Man Standing in His Place. Tonight we're going to be discussing what to do when you need confidence. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to discuss this evening's teaching after a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, God. I praise you, I magnify you, I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent for our physical wholeness. I thank you for his blood that you gave for us to pay for all of our sin. Father, I thank you for us being able to stand boldly in your presence because we have been made your righteousness through that perfect blood of your son, Jesus Christ, God. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent to dwell within each and every one of us so that we can operate out of the fullness of the power of that Holy Spirit. And I thank you for you abiding in us through that Holy Spirit within us, God. Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us so that we can study your word, so that it can cleanse us, so that it can transform us as we renew our mind to your word. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, being the living word of God, your word, who existed with you in your bosom before the beginning of time, before anything was. God, I thank you for how you have made that available to us so that we can know the living word and the written word and the spoken word and understand that all of that is embodied within your son, Jesus Christ. God, Father, I thank you for you giving us boldness in the world and all things that we do. God, I thank you for you giving us a desire to seek your kingdom first and seek your righteousness first, God, and expect your blessings to continue to pour down upon us as we enter into the fullness of all that you've made available to us, as we help you reconcile the world back to yourself, so that your will, your grand design of you dwelling with mankind and mankind dwelling with you being realized, those people that you've called, that you knew were going to accept your son Jesus Christ as their master. I thank you for you allowing us to be a part of that group. I thank you for you allowing us to be considered worthy by you, made worthy by you, to stand in your presence and to dwell with you, Father. We look forward to that. We look forward to the return of your son, Jesus Christ. We, right now, stand on the promises of your word that you've given us so that we can make them real in our life and real in the lives of others as we deliver them from doubt, worry, fear, from bondage, from unbelief, from death, sickness, and disease, from despair and lack and hopelessness, God. Father, I thank you for you just pulling those out of the fire who are ready to perish right now through what they hear this evening. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to another song of praise before we get started tonight, because I believe this is going to bless someone. I believe it's going to strengthen someone. I think it's going to encourage someone. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Donald Lawrence, Prayer Jabez.
Shine, shine, I God for increase. Increase, increase. Increase. Increase, increase. Just touch two people, say increase. Increase. Touch somebody, say increase, increase. Increase. Increase.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network, every man standing in his place. And yes, we do thank God for expanding our territory. We thank you for all. We thank God for all of the believers in South Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Brazil, in Australia, in Botswana, in Zambia, in Cameroon, in Saudi Arabia, in India, in Thailand, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Russia, in Romania, in Italy, in Spain, in France, in Ireland, in Finland, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Poland, in Hungary, in Norway, in Latvia, in Fiji, who are listening to the Spirit Alive Network teachings. I thank you for joining us, and I thank you for you sharing the word that you hear tonight with others. And I thank you for inviting someone who lives in a country whose name you did not hear listed here. share with them this link so that they can partake in the discussions that we're going to have tonight around God's word. Tonight what we're going to be discussing is what to do when you're in need of confidence. And I'll tell you, as men in the world, it is a challenging thing to reach out and have a discussion about not being confident, because there is such a stigma attached to lacking confidence that when you understand that God's word provides confidence, the power of the Holy Spirit provides confidence. And the more you begin to lean, trust, and rely on God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God to direct you in what you do, the more confident you're going to be in the things of God and in the things of the world. Because, see, you're not going to be anywhere without power. You're not going to be anywhere without knowledge. And you're not going to be anywhere without the presence of God, because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. So I was hoping to have a discussion about what to do when you're in need of confidence. But it's hard to have a discussion with only one person. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to share what the Word of God has to say, unless we can have the privilege of having Pastor Carver with us tonight to discuss what to do when you're in need of confidence. And I'm going to invite Pastor Vanessa Carver to give us some of her insight on what to do when you're in need of confidence.
Thank you, Bishop Carver. I just wanted to thank you for welcoming to Every Man Standing. When the confidence question is a good question, because a lot of times we allow social cues and culture to tell us how to gain confidence. But I really am just wanting to echo what you said about the power of the word and how by itself, if we believe it and trust it, based on it is active and alive, it will give us confidence. Our belief and our faith alone helps us to gradually trade one mindset for another. We are new in Christ. All things have become new. So we can't take our confidence building elements from the world. I mean, there's things that we all are good at, right? And there's things that we are being developed in. But I think when it comes to confidence in the word, I think of courage as well. So when you were talking about confidence, I think of courage to stand up for truth, to stand up for what's right, confidently, intentionally, especially when we live in such a hostile world where there is so many things, first of all, vying for our attention, but also things that we have to stand against. Just by being a follower of Christ, you don't even have to say anything or look a certain way. People are coming for you. They're ready for you. So I think when I think of confidence as it pertains to our faith in Christ, I think of courage.
Amen. And I'll tell you, it's wonderful to have fellow believers around who are knowledgeable in the things of God, who are able to affirm God's word in your life, to say, look, no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what people say, no matter what it looks like, God is in control. And God has declared that when you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, that all things that the world chases after and clamors for and is willing to sell their soul for, he wants to give you. He wants to hand you. He wants to deliver into your possession because you are in agreement with his plan and his will. See, God's plan and God's will be fulfilled because God is all-powerful, God is all-knowing, and God is present everywhere. So you're a part of a plan that is going to come to pass when you're in agreement with God's plan. Now, many people are totally oblivious of God's plan, and so that's why I have to reiterate his plan over and over and over again. God's plan is that he will dwell with mankind, and mankind will dwell with him in perfect peace. And that is what we are in the process of helping him do. We are reconciling the world back to him so that he can, in fact, dwell with his people and his people can dwell with him. What that means is that the devil has set himself against God's plan of dwelling with his people and God's people dwelling with him. And the devil has done everything he can to separate mankind from our Heavenly Father. Now, of course, the first thing that the devil tried to do was usurp the power of God, usurp the throne of God. He deceived a third of the angels into believing he could do that and got them all kicked out of heaven when he failed. So because he failed in coming against God, he decided he was going to come against God's people. And he started with Adam. And Adam dwelt with God in the Garden of Eden and had a relationship with God and was working with God and was blessed by God and was given dominion of the world by God. And then the devil caused Adam to fall into sin and separate himself from God, which, if you can only imagine, hurt God. Now, of course, God in his foreknowledge knew this was going to happen. But when you imagine the effort that went into creating Adam and then bringing Eve out of Adam and then developing them in this garden and then having them turn away from him in disobedience, what that felt like, See, when you give somebody your best, when you give somebody everything and it's not enough, and they spit in your face and they turn their back on you, then you have to be like God and you have to move beyond that offense and you have to be merciful, yes, but resolute in fulfilling your plan. And so God has always made provision from the beginning of time, before Adam was. The provision was in his son Jesus Christ, who dwelt in his bosom and was God's plan. He said, I know a lot of people are going to mess this thing up, but my son Jesus Christ is going to lock it down. He's going to get it right. And see, when we are part of that plan and we agree to lock it down and get it right, we agree to be resolute in the things of God, our confidence in God is going to increase because his confidence in us is going to increase because the desire to have that confidence comes from him. He is the one who positioned us, so he knows that we're going to succeed. He knows that we are more than able because he placed the power within us to get the job done. And stop making excuses. Stop dilly-dallying with the things of the world. Stop half-stepping and compromising and making excuses for nonsense and calling nonsense nonsense and righteousness righteousness. And then walking in the fullness of your authority and your power and your dominion in the earth, and not allowing yourself to be tricked and trapped and twisted, convoluted about who God has called you to be. You are a mighty man of God, and God has designed you to do incredible things in the earth. So the answer to walking in greater dimensions of confidence is committing yourself more to the things of God and doing the things that help you seek God's kingdom first and seek God's righteousness first, so that God can step in your life and show you what favor looks like. See, favor looks like what it means to obey God, to submit to God's son, Jesus Christ, as your master and Lord, and then do what he says and stop making excuses. Stop being weak. Stop being lame. Stop accommodating nonsense. Stop settling for less than God's best in your life. And stop believing the lies that people have spoken over you into your life about who they think you are. Those people have no idea who you are. God has created you to be more than a conqueror in all things. God has positioned you to get him great glory. So you have to get past those word curses. You got to get past the petty, small people who have no idea what God has in store for you, what God has designed you to do, because you're special. There's only one you, only one you. God has created you to do unique and mighty things in the earth that only you can do. Now, if you don't do them, they won't get done. That's the unfortunate truth. But the other side of that is, if you commit to the things of God and you get it done, the reward is yours, but the benefit is God's and the glory is God's. And that's what we're supposed to be doing here, is getting glory for God. We're supposed to be helping God fulfill his plan of reconciling the world back to himself by winning souls for the kingdom. And see, when we do that intentionally, God gets great glory and God is pleased. And see, when our desire is to please God, when our desire is to serve God, when our desire is to trust God, when our desire is to obey God, we're going to see the blessings of God rain down upon us like never before. And see, God's desire is for us to live a more than abundant life, first spiritually. You have to first receive the Holy Spirit into your life by doing what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, where it tells us to repent, turn away from serving sin, It tells us to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then we need to do what it says in Acts chapter 7 verses, or I'm sorry. We have to do what it says in Acts chapter 19 verses 1 through 7, where it tells us to believe, to speak in tongues, to believe, to prophesy. And we have to get to the point where we understand that God's plan for us involves us entering into the dimension of the spiritual. See, if we don't speak in tongues, if we don't prophesy, then we will find ourselves outside of the sphere of influence that God needs us to enter into in order to dominate. So in Acts 19, chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, he tells us to believe to speak in tongues and believe to prophesy so that we can build up our inner man on our most holy faith and then not only speak in tongues and not only prophesy, but speak in tongues and interpret, receive words of knowledge, receive words of wisdom, receive discerning of spirits, operate in supernatural acts of faith, operate miracles, operate in gifts of healings and minister healing to others. See, that power is in you when you believe and when you know and when you're instructed in the word. So read what it says and then do what you hear God telling you to do in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, and then Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13, where it tells us to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. It tells us to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, our Master and Savior. It tells us to believe in our heart that God raised his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, and we shall be saved. See, those are absolutes. And when we allow ourselves to walk in the absolute and we do what God tells us to do in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, when we do what it says in Acts 19, verses 1 through 7, when we do what it says in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13, then there is no room for question. There is no room for doubt. And the devil is always trying to come at you, trying to tell you you're not good enough. You're not worthy. You're not powerful enough. And see, that's why not only do we have his word, we have the Holy Spirit within us. But in addition to that, every day when you wake up, God gives you new grace and new mercy. So first of all, you need to know what grace is. God's grace consists of two things in your life. God's grace is his unmerited favor in your life that he gives you. It's all the great things that we receive from God that we don't deserve, that he makes available to us new each and every day. Then God's grace is also his enabling power. God's enabling power that we receive from him new each and every day is so we don't have an excuse of why we would ever doubt, dare to say we couldn't do what God asked us to do. See, his grace is his enabling power. And his favor allows us to get it done. And then even if we get it wrong, he gives us mercy new each and every day at the beginning of the day when we receive the grace. So that if you do stumble, if you do fall, if you do enter into your flesh and you get in the way of the things of God and you second guess what God gave you to do, you can get back up immediately. You don't have to wallow on the ground in self-pity and beat yourself on the back with a whip and wallow in your sin and your shame and your doubt and all that other stuff that people have going on. You can get back up and get it right and get to work. See, because God knows before you mess up. Now, what you need to know is that he gave you a way to go beyond your own limitations, to go beyond your own fleshly tendencies, to enter into anger, to enter into wrath, to enter into jealousy, to enter into envy, to enter into wranglings and greed and covetousness and pride and all that nonsense that we entertain so easily, right? And when you allow your flesh to enter into the things of God, you got to shut it down. You got to shut it down quickly so that you can get God's work done. See, we don't want to be losing time for God on nonsense. So what I want to do is I want to go to the Word and see what the Word has to say about us and what we should do in order to acquire the confidence that we need, since we are not going to have much of a discussion tonight. We're going to let the Word do the talking, which is always a good thing. So look at what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, before this, the Apostle Paul is talking about how he learned to abound in little. He learned to abound in much. And then he concludes that statement by saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And see, we live in a very materialistic world. People have this idea that if they store up enough stuff, they can isolate themselves from harm, isolate themselves from the perils of the world, protect themselves so they can be safe and they can retire and do whatever they want. And what you discover is that's delusional. And so what the Apostle Paul says is he learned to abound in little, so that when there was little food, when there was little provision, when money was low, he learned to abound in the presence of God alone. But then beyond that, he said he learned to abound in much as well. Now people think, oh, it's automatic. If you have much, you're going to abound. No, because see, many people, what they find is when they get much, they become fearful because they're afraid that they're going to lose what they got. Because when you have stuff, people are coming for your stuff. People are going to where the stuff is, and they're trying to take the stuff from you, and they're trying to see, can you defend the stuff you have? And if God didn't give you the stuff in the first place, then you have to defend it yourself. But if God gave you something, they got to take it from God before they can take it from you. And what I like about this is God promises us in his word that he would allow us to have good success. And see, to me, that's a wonderful thing, because I know that there's such a thing as bad success. And people might say, well, what are you talking about, bad success? Well, my definition of bad success is when the tail wags the dog. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression before, but basically an example of the tail wagging the dog would be someone who wanted to be a business owner, and they became a business owner and had to spend every waking moment on their business. And instead of enjoying their business and their life, their business was running them, dominating them. Every aspect of their life forced them to focus on their business. And God says, no, that's not my plan for you. My plan for you is you own your business. Your business does not own you. See, as it is with anything, if you are a homeowner and you are enjoying your home and your home is a blessing to you, that's a good thing. But if your home dominates all of your energy and your expense and your attention, and you have no time for anything else because you're just trying to keep the home intact, the home owns you. You don't own the home in that scenario. And see, God has allowed you to have access to whatever he has blessed you with so that it can indeed be a blessing to you. And see, I want to read the specific verse that I was speaking of when it talks about good success. It's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." That is a powerful promise in the Word of God, that if we meditate on the things of God and God's Word, and keep his word in our mouth, then we will have, we'll make our way prosperous and we'll have good success. See, the tail won't wag the dog. Our business won't own us. We'll own our business. We will be able to put God first and seek his kingdom first and seek his righteousness first instead of having to spend every waking moment wondering how we're going to keep our business afloat, how we're going to deal with our competitors, how we're going to organize our schedules and the financing and the credit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? God has it worked out. And God says that if we seek his kingdom first and we seek his righteousness first, then all the things that the world chases after, he will give us. So when we stand on the promises in God's word, we can have the confidence of God. When we don't stand on the promises in God's word, we shouldn't expect the confidence of anything, because we're trying to do what only God can do. I love this verse here as it speaks to men. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth," God gives us riches and wealth, "and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." Now, as a man, that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. Every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, has God given you riches and wealth? And has God given you the power to eat of your riches and wealth? And has God given you the power to take your portion, not somebody else's? See, you taking somebody else's portion is greed, but you taking your portion is what a man does. He identifies what his portion is, and then he takes it. He doesn't ask someone else to give it to him. He goes and takes his portion because it's God that gave you your portion in the first place, and he gave you the ability to eat thereof. So here's another definition of bad success. A definition of bad success would be God has blessed you with riches and wealth, or someone blessed you with riches and wealth, and you cannot partake. You can't eat of your riches and wealth, either because you have no time or because you have a physical illness like an ulcer or some other malady that prevents you from being able to eat. And so now it's a form of torture. You have the great things, but you can't enjoy them. And so God says, look, life is to be lived. We work in order to live. We don't live in order to work. And so when we work for God first, we build the kingdom of God first. We build and seek the righteousness of God first. Then all these things God adds to us, God gives to us. And then the tail does not wag the dog. The business does not own the business owner. The home does not own the homeowner. The car does not own the owner of the vehicle. The owner of the vehicle owns and enjoys the car and the things the car allows them to do. The owner of the house enjoys and owns the things of the house that a house allows the owner to do. The business allows the business owner to have the freedom to enjoy the things that the business allows the business owner the things to be able to enjoy and do. And see, God will use those things to enhance your ability to win souls for the kingdom of God, enhance your ability to become the righteousness of God in the earth in manifestation, so that other people can see the difference between operating with the power of God and operating without the power of God. There's a real difference, see? And we are charged with representing God in the earth and getting great glory for God. This is serious business. This is something that we do intentionally. We don't do it accidentally. We do it intentionally. So when we talk about having confidence, look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And see, that's something that is very important. We have to get beyond our tendency to fear men instead of fearing God. Because only God is all power. Only God is present everywhere. And only God knows everything. So why would you fear men who know nothing compared to what God knows? Why would you fear men who can only be in one place at a time? Why would you fear men whose power, no matter how much power they have, is limited at best? Limited. God tells us over 365 times in the Word, one time for every day of the year, to fear not. When you are in fear, you are in disobedience, and you are saying you do not trust in God's Word. You are saying God is not able to protect you, and that is not true. That is a lie from the devil that you never want to be in agreement with. So you have to learn, you have to grow, just like the Apostle Paul said, as I read earlier, he had to learn to abound in little. He had to learn to abound in much, to learn that the presence of God was enough so that he could come to the place that he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And when you learn to abound in little, so that when money is low and food is low, you learn that the presence of God is enough. And hey, you can fast. You can pray to God. You cannot be so distracted. You know what I found out? I found out when I have a lot of money, more people are around. And more people are pulling on your time and all kinds of other stuff. But when money is low, people leave you alone. You literally have time for you and God. And that's what it looks like to abound in little. You can fast. And one of the requirements for fasting is you do so without announcing it to others. And if you don't have a whole bunch of people around you because money's low, food's low, whatever's low, you can abound in little and allow the presence of God to be enough, and you can fast before the Lord secretly with little effort, trying to keep it a secret because nobody's around because you don't have anything to take. They're leaving you alone. God has given you peace, and you don't even realize it because you're wanting the stuff. Instead of acknowledging the opportunity that God has given you to be alone with him. See, confidence is being able to identify those times that God has established for you to be with him. Confidence, and see, that's the thing, is the joy that God gives us and the wisdom that he gives us to identify the time and the purpose for everything is in his word. So look at what it says here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, I know that the rest of this verse says, or the rest of this chapter says, there's a time to live and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to time to kill, and a time to bring forth life. It's there's a lot in that scripture. The thing is, if you can identify the time to rejoice in little, and you can identify the time to rejoice in much, then you can learn to be at peace in both of those situations, which allows you to abound, because see, it's the peace of God that passes understanding to you. You begin to understand why God allows us to be in times of little, times of lack. And often it's so that we can focus on the things of Him and we can rest. See, the world says money never sleeps. And that's why we don't serve money, because God has called us to labor to enter into His rest. The labor part is us resisting our flesh's desire to bow down and serve money and to never rest, to be among those who never sleep because we're chasing money, serving mammon, pleasing people, leaning to our own understanding, operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities, and killing ourselves. We're having we're chasing down what is known as bad success. It will kill you. And see, as a man of God standing in your place, God's desire is that you live a more than abundant life. He's not trying to kill you. He's not trying to set you up for failure. He's trying to get great glory out of you by trying to use you as a demonstration of His power at work in your life, so that people can see what you were and see what you have become through the transformative power of the Holy Spirit within you and the Word of God in your life. And see, when you stand on the promises of God and start, and when you read the Word of God, if you read it identifying the promises, with every promise, there's going to be instruction on what to do. God will say, if you do this, I will give you this. So He says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and you seek the righteousness of God, then all these things that the world chases after, I will give you. That's the promise. All the things that the world chases after, I will give you if you seek my kingdom first and you seek my righteousness first, right? So righteousness must be a desire that we have, and we know that desire can only come from God because it's not natural, because we have a natural sin nature, a natural disposition to embrace sin. And so through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God in our life, that natural disposition is offset by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which transforms us and causes us to take the attention of our soul, our mind, will, and emotions to the things of God. Causes us to fast, causes us to pray, causes us to fellowship with like-minded believers, causes us to study God's word so that we can increase in our confidence. See, you being doubtful and second-guessing God doesn't get God much glory and does not show your faith as being real. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. See, you have to do the will of God first in order to receive the promise of God. But you need patience. Ye have need of patience. We have to be able to learn how to wait. We have to stop being like petulant children and wanting everything now, wanting to just add water and see relief now. See, there is joy in the process of trusting God, of waiting on God confidently. And see, if we lean to our understanding, the mistake we'll make is leaning to our own understanding, which it tells us not to do in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It tells us not to lean to our own understanding. It says to trust God in all of our ways and lean not to our own understanding. That means you reject your own understanding. Then it tells us to acknowledge God in all of our ways, and he will direct our paths. He will take us past the pitfalls and the landmines and all the things we don't see and all the traps as our enemy sets a trap up around us seven different ways. And he causes our enemy to flee before us because his power radiates through us and his wisdom transforms what we would do otherwise if we were just leaning to our own understanding. So give you an example. I recently had a business deal I was part of, and still in the process of being finalized, but for all intents and purposes, we've been successful in passing this interview process and getting access to some work that we were seeking with the city. And what's interesting is that if I was leaning to my own understanding, I would wait till the deal was all the way done and give God the glory. But God said no. God said, go ahead and share how your team didn't think you could get one contract, and instead of getting one contract with the city, you got two contracts with the city. And you know what? When you are not afraid to give God the glory, God follows through. See, God is not waiting for you to believe if he can do it or not. Of course he can do it. He's all powerful. He's present everywhere. He is all knowing. And he promised he would do it in his word. See, God, it said he magnified his word above his name. And so he holds himself accountable to his word, and he cannot lie. He cannot transgress against his word. So our confidence in ourselves really is an extension of our confidence in God. And if we study God's word, we have confidence in God because we know what God has done in the past. We know what God is doing in the present, and we know what God is going to do in the future according to his word. And we stand on that promise. See, when you stand in your place, you're standing on the word of God. You're not guessing. You're not hoping and praying. You're standing on the word of God. And you're praying because you're thanking God for all the great things he's already set you up for, all the great things he's already promised you in his word, that you are doing what is required in order to walk into those things by seeking his kingdom first and seeking his righteousness first intentionally, and then identifying those desires he's giving you because you're delighting in the things of God. See, it says when we delight in God's word that he gives us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean he's being Santa Claus to us and just giving us whatever we want. What it means is he's literally giving us the desire to want what he wants. He's giving us a desire to come into agreement with him. You know what? That's the problem so many people have, is they are so distracted by their own nonsense and their own petty whims of what they think they need, what they think they want. You don't even know what's available. And see, if you acknowledge what you don't know, you would understand that God knows that things are available to you you haven't even thought about. And he is positioning you to enter into those things, and you just got to trust him. You got to learn how to say yes. And sometimes you think you want something and you don't even know what you're asking for. And God is saying, look, I got a better plan, but it's 10 times bigger than you can possibly imagine. But you can do it through the Holy Spirit I place within you. You can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, but you're trying to do it your way. You're trying to work out. You're trying to get your hair right and your nails right and your teeth right and your face right and your skin right and this right. God is saying, you know what? You don't need all that. He said, I got some stuff for you, and it'll look like you'll look like $1 million just by the stress I'm going to take off of you, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to do. And you're going to be free to do what I need you to do for me, because I'm going to do the things that you need. And see, that's what God is saying. He said, look, if you stop worrying about what you need and start thinking about what I need, then I'm going to give you what you need. But what I need is for you to think about all those lost souls, all those other people who are still second-guessing me, still doubting me, still questioning me, still avoiding me. See, and that's what the people of God did in the wilderness with Moses, was they said, oh, we're afraid of God. You go up before God, Moses, and tell us what he said, and then we'll think about whether we want to do it or not. And it's that kind of ignorance that we have to reject if we're going to stand as men in a place of confidence and be the representatives of God in the earth. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the end. Perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ returns. So we have to be confident that the work that God started in us, he's going to finish. Now, you know why people are often not confident? Is because we think God is like us. How many times have you started a project and then put it on a back burner? Started a project and put it on a shelf? And I can tell you, I am guilty of doing this. With a couple of writing projects I got going on, with a couple of book projects that I got going on. And in the middle of my life as an architect, as a father, as a grandfather, as a husband, as a minister of the gospel, yes, I I can put a project like a book on a back burner, on a shelf. And I have to understand God's not like that. What God starts, he finishes. Now, I'm not saying I'm not going to finish my book project, but I'm saying that unlike God, I could get distracted from something and not finish it potentially, right? But what God starts, he finishes, because God magnified his word above his name. What God says he's going to do in his word, he must do. And that's why you should be excited about studying God's word, because it tells you what God is going to do. It tells you not only what God is capable of based on what he's done in the past in the Old Testament, it tells you about what God has promised to do in the New Testament with you right now, and what God is going to do in the future through you and because of you and with you. In the scripture, it's telling you. And that's why you need to make yourself available to the word of God. That's going to increase your confidence. All the doubt, worry, and fear is going to be put away, because you're going to realize the work that God started in you, he's going to finish, just like the other things he started and finished in the scripture. Look at what it says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. It says, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, like the feet of a mountain deer. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my string instruments. So God is our strength, and he will make our feet like hinds' feet, like the feet of a deer on a mountain. And the deers that climb on mountains, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but that it's fascinating, because they'll be standing on the side of a cliff and there might be a mountain lion that wants to get to them, but they can't because they're on this awkward cliff or ledge where only the hind's feet, they can navigate their way up these steep cliffs that only these deer can really navigate. And they're safe from attack and predators. Now, the predator will look and the predator will try, but the predator will fail, because these deer, these mountain deer, they're in very protected places that are difficult to get to. And so that's what God is saying. He's like, he's our strength. He's able to keep us in difficult places and lead our path. And that's why it tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. Reject our own understanding. Stand on this promise here that says he'll make our feet like hinds' feet. He'll make us able to stand in difficult places and keep us from predators, keep us from harm, keep us in very tight places from those who would try to stop the purposes of God in our life. If God has given you a work to do for him, anyone who comes against you to stop that work is in trouble. They're going to be disappointed. They're going to be put to shame. And God is going to shut them down if they don't decide to help you. And God could cause them to decide to help you. That's why we have to learn to love our enemies. So look at what it says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And you know why this is so important? We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And what's important about this is that it says in I believe it's Proverbs, that one who can control his mouth is mightier than one who can conquer a city. So when it says we are more than conquerors, we can control what comes out of our mouth. And when we say what the Word of God says, and when we say that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, we are coming in agreement with God. And then we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. See, it's love that makes all of this available in the first place. It's that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should trust in him and believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? So it's that love that gives us confidence and allows us to be more than conquerors in all situations, so that we learn to abound in little, we learn to abound in much, we stop defining our existence based on what we have or based on what we don't have. It's that type of wrong teaching that caused people with stuff blessed and people without stuff not blessed. That's nonsense. That's not the Word of God. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. See, you got to know that God hears you. You have to have the confidence that he hears us and that according to his will, he's going to grant us what we ask for. And when we understand that those desires came from him, we are simply restating what he has given us to want. We are voicing, giving voice, sending it to the heavens to be, we're sending our purchase order to heaven to be fulfilled by letting it come out of our mouth. Instead of speaking what we don't want, we speak what we want based on the desire that God places on our heart, and standing on the promise in his word with the confidence that God hears us and he's going to grant our petition. Look at what it says in John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, this is what Jesus Christ says, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I believe that Jesus Christ was saying that it would be greater in quantity, not greater in terms of, you know, greater works than Jesus Christ did. We're going to do greater works in quantity because all of us have the Holy Spirit within us. And back then it was God in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. And then that power was distributed to the 12, and then it was distributed to the 72, and then it was distributed to the 120 at day of Pentecost, and all that stuff happened, right? Came down to us, 3,000 to 5,000, us, right? Look at what it says here in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And see, this is so important, because if you lean to your own understanding, like it tells us not to do in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, then you will make the mistake of not trusting in God, and then God will not order your steps because you're not acknowledging his power, you're not acknowledging his presence, you're not acknowledging his knowledge in your life that you have full access to, and you're trying to figure it out yourself. And so God is saying, you're just trying to steal my glory. You're acting like I'm not even here. And that's why it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If you look at the examples of all of the failures in the Bible, King Saul being among them, these are the ones who ignored the presence of God, ignored the command of God, did what they wanted to do, had excuses for why they did what they did, and failed. They failed. And God has not called us to fail. God has not called us to doubt. God has not called us to second guess. He has called us to be more than conquerors through him who loved us, right? We have to say what the word says. We have to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We have to learn to abound in little, learn to abound in much. And so we have to not cast away our confidence that has great recompense of reward. See, we have to have patience to learn how to wait on the things of God and know that after we've done God's will, after we wait on the Lord, that we will receive the promise of God, because God does not renege on his promises. God fulfills his promises. God gets great glory when we trust him openly. And I dare and defy anybody to come and try to stop the purposes of God in my life, because you know what? You're going to lose. You're going to be sorely disappointed. You're going to be openly put to shame, because I'm not afraid to do and say what looks crazy to you and what looks unwise to you. That's why God says, don't be overly wise. Don't be wise according to your own understanding. Reject your own understanding. It says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. That's what the word of God says. And when you're leaning to your own understanding, you're like, oh, I better not say this first because it hasn't happened yet. They haven't put the ink on the contract yet. They haven't said this yet. If God tells you to say and declare what has already been known, it's just not official yet. Go ahead and give God glory now. Give God glory before it gets to that point. Because if God promises it to you, it's yours. And see, it's that level of confidence that gets great glory for God. That's what Joshua and Caleb did when they went into the promised land. They were sent in as scouts among 12 scouts. I'm wrong. Yeah, there were 12 scouts. And only Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. The other 10 were talking nonsense. They said the people were too great to overcome. But the land was great. It was great. They had incredible produce. And then only Joshua and Caleb said, we can take the land that God has given us, right? If God gives it to you, you can take it. God's not going to give you something you can't take. So it was their unbelief that kept them out of the promised land and sent them back into the wilderness for 40 years so that all the unbelieving people could die off. All the people who believed the bad report of the 10 died off. And only Joshua and Caleb got to enter into the promised land with all the people who were born in the wilderness for 40 years. And so what you don't want to do is be in that group of people who don't believe. You want to push unbelief and unbelievers away because they are not in agreement with the purposes of God. They are not in agreement with the promises of God. They are not in agreement with the power of God. They are those who lean to their own understanding. And see, that is only because those of us who know what the word says and do believe have not been doing to the extent that God is calling us to do. And so when we get to the point where we're doing what God has called us to do, the way God has called us, those who have been second-guessing God and doubting God and discounting God and saying it doesn't take all that, they are going to increase in their faith, and they're going to begin doing the things of God because they're going to see you doing it, not hear you talking about doing it. Talk is cheap, but the word of God abounds forever. The word of God is not talk because it started with the living word of God who was in the bosom of God, who was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was the beginning of all things, and all things were made through him. And so when we go to the living word of God, who ultimately becomes the spoken word of God, who ultimately becomes the written word of God, written in the stars, written on stone tablets, written on scrolls, written on the printing press, and now written on our computers and PCs and tablets and phones, we have the word of God everywhere in every language and every translation all over the planet, and no excuse. And so I want to encourage each and every one of you to stand on the promise of God and be confident in the power that God has placed in you so that you can glorify God in all that you do for him, and you can be bold in what you do, not just in the things of God, but you can be bold in the blessings of God in your life so that you know that God has given you riches and wealth. You know that God has given you power to eat of your riches and wealth. You know that God has given you power to take your portion without making excuses. God has given you the power to rejoice in your labor and know that work is its own reward and know that this is the gift of God. And so that gift, of course, is not greater than the gift of the Holy Spirit that he's given you to allow you to have the power to simply be in his presence, because that comes before this. But remember that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Reverence God, fear God. Understand that God has made you in such a way that when you submit to him, you are the righteousness of God through the blood of his Son Jesus Christ that made you perfect, that made you righteous. And as you study God's word and allow his word to cleanse you, you are more than worthy. As you fast, as you pray, as you fellowship with like-minded believers, and you stand on the promises of God, you're going to be blessed, and you're going to be a blessing to others, and you're going to help to pull others out of their doubt, worry, fear, unbelief, sickness, shame, and disease, and allow them to be restored, allow them to be pulled out of prison, allow them to be pulled out of condemnation, allow them to be pulled out of bondage, allow them to be pulled out of unbelief, allow them to be pulled out of lack, allow them to be pulled out of debt, allow them to be pulled out of hopelessness, allow them to be pulled out of pain, allow them to be restored and made the righteousness of God so that their light can shine just like your light shines. We're called to go into the dark places and let our light so shine. But we don't do that by not having confidence in the things of God. So cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, after you've done the will of God, after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise of God. And God is faithful to keep his promise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for you blessing someone to enter into the fullness of all that you promised them in your word. I thank you for the desire that you've given them to study your word, to fast, to fellowship with like-minded believers, to do your word and obey your word, to trust you, to serve you, to please you, and to obey you. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from every man standing in his place, with Lester Carver and the Spirit Alive Network, be ye transformed.
We're living in a time where everybody is struggling for their lives. The stress, the depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. My brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa, struggling with AIDS, in Brazil, the States. I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister, I speak life, you are the head and not the tail. I speak life. Don't give up the fight for your life. You shall live and not die. Let's not lose another person to a senseless death, substance abuse, gang violence, suicide because of low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.
Help me sing.